Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, the State Department has new travel advisories to four countries around the planet, and the Shakespeare Festival in Ashland, Oregon has lived to fight another day. Those stories next in the news.
In our Smarter Traveler segment at 3:20, we talk about fake phone numbers and websites. Be careful online and on the phone because those fake numbers can cost you a lot of money.
Last week we mentioned a new bill in the California legislature that would change the way hotels charge you bogus fees. Today our special guest talks more about the chance of California being the first state to tell hotels to go pound sand. That story at 3:35.
And if you're a tall traveler who loves those exit row seats, we have some potentially bad news. Exit row seats that fold up, that story at 3:50.
The only travel show designed to make you smarter when you hit the road. Thanks for checking out The Travel Guys.
On the road again.
I've been everywhere, man.
On with the show we go. It's the Travel and Entertainment Guys, again brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you. Thanks for coming along. Good to see you, Mark. Where are you headed next here as a travel guy for Sports Leisure Vacations?
As a travel guy, I am taking a bunch of Sports Leisure travelers up the California and Oregon coast to Redwoods National Park and California State Redwoods Park. And some beautiful spots along the ocean, Newport and Bandon and Coos Bay and Gold Beach. We're going to ride. The mail is still delivered to rural communities in southern Oregon by river. There are a couple of communities, one of them, Agnes, that is much easier reached by a boat on the river than it is by a road.
No, cool.
So the post office still, and they call them mail boats because now not only do they haul the mail, but they also haul tourists and take the mail to some of these remote places along the river. So that should be fun. Ride a dune buggy up on the Oregon coast.
You guys still do the dune buggy thing,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, we do the dune buggies. And we're going to Newport, which is like one of my, if you asked me my five favorite destinations in the country, Newport would be one of them. It's one of those kind of San Francisco-y places where even in the summertime, it rarely gets over about 60, 65 degrees, but it's really beautiful. There's a great restaurant there called Clearwater that I love. We go out on the water on a boat for a couple hours, and the Oregon Aquarium is there. And there is more stuff to do in Oregon. The coast isn't as cheap as it used to be. It used to be that you could travel on the Oregon coast for about half of what you could travel in Cape Cod. And if you go look at a map, it's about the same deal,
mm-hmm.
But the Oregon coast was just really, and the Washington coast to some extent, just really overlooked, but you can't really say that anymore. Prices have come up, and while it is still a little less expensive and way less crowded on the Oregon coast, price-wise, it's starting to level out a little bit. Anyway, that's where I will be until the end part of next week. Get home just in time for a big holiday weekend.
And folks, so you'll know, some years back, I wanted to do a little vacation with the family, and Mark hooked me up with the directions to all of the cool places, and we stayed at the Elizabethan Inn. We did the dune buggies. Of course, you guys take the dune buggy bus.
Yeah, the big dune buggy.
The big dune buggy. We did individual dune buggies and almost got lost. It was... anyway, yeah, if you haven't had a chance to experience that part of the country, that's just a stone's throw away, you owe it to yourself. Well, okay, moving on. At the top of every Travel Guys radio show, we bring you up to date on the travel news. With the travel news this afternoon, here's Mark.
Whether you like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, the State Department, this is really kind of interesting. From time to time, the State Department will say, hey, you know, for whatever reason, we think that you should be careful in this country or this region or this part of this country or this city. They reissued four updates this week, and I found it kind of interesting because they're all over the place, and there's different reasons. And there's one country on here that I would never have expected to be on this list. Anyway, Dominican Republic is at level 2, exercise increased caution advisory due to crime State Department is advising travelers that some violent crime is a concern throughout the Dominican Republic, though some areas, including the country's resort areas, are better policed than other urban areas like Santo Domingo. So that Dominican Republic. Ecuador, level 2 advisory, exercise increased caution due to civil unrest and crime. So Bolivia is the third one, due to civil unrest. In particular, the State Department says travelers should not travel to the Chapare region, I may not be pronouncing that right, due to crime and should reconsider travel to other parts of Bolivia. And finally, the country I would not have expected to be on here, Denmark remains at a level 2 alert, exercise increased caution due to terrorism. According to the State Department, quote, terrorist groups continue plotting possible attacks in the kingdom of Denmark. It's warning travelers to be aware of their surroundings when traveling, particularly to tourist destinations, and follow the instructions of local authorities. So those are four places that our State Department has decided, for a variety of reasons, that you should be on extra alert. So if you're headed, I suspect there are not too many people from the U.S., especially from the West Coast, headed to Ecuador or Bolivia or perhaps the Dominican Republic. The Dominican Republic is a popular destination for those who live on the East Coast. It's a rather inexpensive island destination. Denmark, though, lots of cruise ships and stuff go there. Tours that do the Scandinavian part of the planet. So anyways, just some reasons to be on the alert there if you're going to those countries. And the State Department issues those alerts all the time. You can check out their current alerts by checking them out online. The Oregon Shakespeare Festival. This has been going on for a long, long, long time. I can remember taking people to the Oregon Shakespeare Festival 40 years ago.
Wow.
They ran into some financial issues through the COVID situation. Mm-hmm. Doesn't surprise me. Lots of theater groups had issues because, you know, you still have expenses even though you're not having shows. They needed to raise $2.5 million to launch this season and be assured that they would be able to go on to next year. Within 50 days, they met that goal. I didn't know that they were even in trouble until I saw this release that said that they had made their initial $2.5 million goal. So if you like Shakespeare, and they do other shows besides Shakespeare in Southern Oregon, we have been up there to see them a number of times, and it's a wonderful, wonderful. Ashland is just such a great little town to visit, and you can go up there. The Shakespearean Festival has shows indoors and outdoors. Ashland is a wonderful town to stay in. Harry and David's is up there. Which is a great store. You can shop online at Harry and David's, but if you're up in the Ashland area, you can shop there in person, one of the coolest places in the country. So congratulations to the Shakespearean Festival in Ashland. They have lived for another curtain call, or two, or three.
Yeah, and they not only, the issues that you just spoke of, they had a series of fires in that area that, with the smoke and all, kind of prevented them from being able to come back as quickly as they would have liked.
Bainbridge Island, which is in Washington State, it's on Puget Sound, and Bainbridge Island was one of the first places that Japanese people were interred after Pearl Harbor in World War II. They were not as much, the camps up there around Puget Sound had a little bit more humanity to them than some of the ones in California and the like. Anyways, it has been more than 75 years since that all happened. Many of the families that left Bainbridge Island returned to their homes, and because people had looked after their homes and made sure that they would have something to come back to, something that didn't happen everywhere in the country with Japanese, with folks of Japanese descent. Anyways, they are going to. The Japanese American Exclusion Memorial up there is rather small. They have gotten a $4 million private donation and are going to make it into something better. If it's adjacent to the ferry dock on Bainbridge Island, and if you're ever up there, it's really worth walking through. We get local folks to take us along and explain it. There is still a lady up there on Bainbridge Island who was a little girl when all of this happened, and she's one of the people who meet us and take us along there. So it's kind of a first person sort of thing. Mm-hmm. It's not a piece of American history that some of us are particularly proud of. It's certainly understandable. There was a war and the Japanese had attacked Pearl Harbor. But anyways, going to the exclusion memorials, there's one up in Tule Lake. There's one in the Sierra Nevadas. They're scattered around and in rather remote areas for obvious reasons. But this is one that they are going to make a significant visitor center out of, and the National Park Service is going to play a hand in it. So good for the folks on Bainbridge Island who have taken a piece of American history that they treated a little differently in the beginning and have continued to treat it a little differently. Speaking of Washington State and tourism, folks who like to go up there, including me, are really fond of some of the seafood, the native seafood up there, Dungeness crabs and little neck clams and oysters and things like that. Well, they're having a problem with the European green crab has come up there. And the problem is the European green crab eats all the stuff that the local native sea creatures eat.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's causing a bit of a problem. The state of Washington is spending $270 million a year for several years to try to get rid of the green crab. Not only that, they don't taste good.
Swell.
So there's a real reason to get rid of them, because they don't taste good. Anyway, folks in Washington, if they seem a little crabby, that would be why. Holland America has, if you want good material, you have to listen to the weekday shows. Holland America Line has announced new shore excursions from National Geographic. This is kind of cool. They're going to do on their cruises a new series of exclusive shore excursions developed by National Geographic Day Tours that will allow travelers to connect more deeply and in a more sustainable way with destinations. They are starting with the Mediterranean. So things like experience a day in the life of a marine biologist in Naples, Italy, learn about organic honeybee farms in Greece, meet local families in Greece. So it sounds like they're getting a little more creative. These things are going to cost you a small fortune because they're a cruise ship. But cruise ships could improve their reputation, I think, with a lot of travelers, including yours truly, if they did more of this kind of stuff. You know, don't just take people someplace and drop them off on shore and put them on a cheap sightseeing tour that wasn't so cheap to them. But give them a chance to really dig down into some of these destinations and meet the people and find out some of the more unique aspects of those destinations, I think would be very popular with travelers. Olympic National Park is reopening the Hurricane Ridge area. We told you that the lodge at Hurricane Ridge burned in late April. The area will reopen June the 27th. There will not be indoor spaces available. They'll just have some portable concession stands, some portable toilets. So no drinking water, no regular toilet facilities or anything like that. But at least there will be some facilities for folks. Because of the limited restroom capacity there and the limited parking lot area, because a lot of it is still cordoned off, if you're going to Olympic National Park in Washington State, and you're planning on going to Hurricane Ridge, it's the most popular destination in the park. They are limiting the number of vehicles that can travel on the road every day to 315. I'm going to tell you that will probably be reached somewhere late morning, be my guess. So if you're going to Olympic National Park in Washington State this summer, just be advised that getting up to Hurricane Ridge is going to be limited capacity. So I strongly recommend you go early in the day. The early bird gets the worm. And that isn't just in Washington State. If you're a tourist and you're willing to get out of bed a little earlier than the other tourists, you can save yourself a lot of time over the course of the day. And that's your travel news for today.
As we promised, here to make you a smarter traveler along the way. Okay, Mark, lay out the scenario. I'm looking to make a call to,
if you right now, Tom, at the computer in front of you typed in United Airlines or JetBlue or Hilton Hotels or any well-known travel entity, up would pop a whole screen full of potential ways to contact that company. And it's pretty likely on that entire page of contact possibilities that only one of them would actually be United Airlines or Hilton Hotels or whatever.
Well, you know, the first one that comes up is something called Air Talk, finding book airfares for less, not United.
Right.
eDreams.net, Flight Unite, Fly United Airlines, best flight offers. And then way over here on the far right, you actually get United.com.
Right. So these are our words of warning. A lot of people have gotten used to just going to the internet, typing in the name of the company, and then something pops up and they hit the phone or they hit the internet and try to deal with their problem, buy their ticket, make their reservation, whatever. What I want to suggest to you is that if you don't pay attention here, you're really putting yourself in a lot of danger. I have a story from Chris Elliott here of a lady who accidentally called. She thought she was calling JetBlue, so she Googled JetBlue's phone number, and up popped the number of a company that was not JetBlue. When she called them, they answered JetBlue. So obviously, she thought that she had reached the right people. She needed to change a plane ticket. They told her there would be a $500 change fee.
Ooh.
And so she agreed to the charge. And then when she called back to JetBlue to check on it, she got the real JetBlue. They told her they had never charged her $500, that she didn't have to pay a change fee to get her ticket changed. And so then the lady was, can I get my money back? Well, that got kind of complicated. Chris got involved. Eventually, he got her money back. But the problem was that she didn't call the airline to start with.
Mm-hmm.
And if you Google, as I mentioned, any of these travel companies, you're going to be confronted by a large number of companies that perhaps legitimately sell travel. But some of them are scams. And when you call them, they're going to try to extract information from you that will allow them to either put an illegitimate charge on your credit card, get information that they can sell to anybody, somebody else, just even get demographic information about you that would be of value to other travel companies. So when you're looking online, don't just automatically, the first phone number that you see in bold print, or the first time that you see United Airlines and you just click there and go to that website and find out. And these guys have gotten very good. In some cases, they have made websites that are somewhat identical to the home pages of actual airline and hotel websites. In one case, a scammer got the phone number. When an airline changed their phone number, they picked up the old phone number. So obviously, lots of people called what they thought was the correct number and weren't even talking to the entity that they thought they were talking to. So be careful. In many cases, you will see the words official site. You know, official site of United Airlines, official site of Marriott Hotels, official site of Best Western. That will give you some confidence. Also, if you're going to a site that says Marriott.com, that's pretty hard for people to copy because there's only one Marriott.com website, and there's a pretty good chance that Marriott has it. But if you're going to bookhotels.com, which may be the first thing that comes up when you Google a phone number or even an address, you can Google an individual hotel and be misled. So it's important to pay attention. The days are gone when you could ask Mr. or Mrs. Google for something and there would only be one answer.
Yeah.
Now there are 15 or 20 answers.
And then that holds true for a lot of products and services. However, I did notice that when I typed in sports, leisure, vacations, I know I got the right site because there's these two ugly guys with a picture here that says, you have a face for radio. Common joke around Sports Leisure Vacations office. Truth is, Mark Clayton and other staff members can be heard but not seen weekly on KFBK.
Yes.
So I'm trusting that's your website.
Yes, it is. And I did that the other day just out of curiosity when I was working on this story. It was like, all right, let's see what happens when our own website comes up, and it comes up clean. But the bigger the company, the better chance that there's going to be somebody out there trying to get you. So it really is, you know, we talk a lot in this program about the importance of doing your homework when you're setting up travel or researching or even when you're just dreaming travel. And that's that same word of wisdom, homework, is important when you're going online and you're just looking. Maybe you just need to make a change in a ticket or a hotel reservation, room night or something like that. But if you get the wrong place, it's fairly likely that they're going to try to charge you something for their services that you may not have to pay, and it may mess up your reservation beyond repair. So really, words to the wise is when you're going online or you're looking at something, make sure that it's the official company that you're doing business with or the company that you did business with originally that you want to go back to.
You know, so often you will get calls. Sometimes they're legit, but most of the time they're not, from companies claiming to be your bank, your credit card, and other things like that. And so before you just randomly decide to call that number back and inquire about what it is, it probably would behoove you to check a little further to find out if that is actually the number that is associated with your financial institution or otherwise.
A few days ago, I received a call just out of the random blue, an Alaska phone number, no less, said, "This is your airline calling, and you just made a reservation with us, and we want to make sure that your reservation is going to go through correctly. We need to confirm your credit card number."
Oh, boy.
And so, of course, you know, I knew immediately that it was a scam. I teased the guy for a couple of minutes, making him think he was actually going to get the number. You know, what airline was it I reserved on? Because I've made three reservations today. Can you tell me which airline it was? So I had a little fun with the guy. But anyways, just words. Buyer beware. If you're looking up a phone number or contact online, make sure you've got the right place.
Links to our special guest today can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. And with us today is Lauren Wolf. She's with Travelers United. Mark, tell us a little bit about the article that Lauren penned that we're going to talk about today.
Well, we mentioned it in the travel news last week, Tom. The headline says, "California Resort Fee Bill Paves Way for Eliminating Deceptive Fees." Or at least in eliminating the way that they're advertised. Lauren, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Thanks so much for having me.
You're very welcome. This is really an excellent article. And, of course, it got my attention because we're in California. And if there's one thing here on this program and myself personally as a traveler, being a tour operator, oftentimes when you see resort fee, it means times 20 or 25 because that's the number of rooms that you're booking. And of course, what you get for those fees sometimes is, let's just say, paltry at best. Let me give you an opportunity here. How did you get involved in this story, Lauren? And give us a little background if you can.
Yeah. So I actually first started to advocate for these fees, against these fees, I should say, when I was charged a resort fee myself for the first time in 2016. I paid in full for a hotel, and it was at that point the most expensive hotel I had ever paid for in my life, $400 in advance, go to Key West in peak season. So, you know, that's just what happens if you want to go.
Yep.
And when I got to the hotel, they said, even though it said, you know, paid in full, blah, 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 you have to hand over $20 or you're not getting the key to the room. And I was like, what? I paid $400 for this room. Give me the key. And they said, no, there's a resort fee of $20 a night, and you need to pay this resort fee if you want the key to the room. So I was like, this is crazy. And I am a lawyer. I'm in D.C. I have a bit of background in politics. And so I started to look into this, and I was like, this is crazy that this is an essentially illegal practice that these hotels are getting away with. And it's because people aren't fighting back. And so now with Travelers, I've spent quite a while on this, and we've been fighting back and meeting over and over and over with different decision makers, lawmakers, policymakers, trying to push for an end to this sort of deceptive hotel pricing.
So Mark Berman, who is a California state senator, has introduced a bill, AB 537, the California Resort Fee Bill, which would make all mandatory lodging fees would have to be included in the advertised price. That's kind of what we're talking about. You log on to the internet, and the first price that you see should be the price that includes, you know, everything except perhaps the room tax. but that you should be getting a completed price. Lauren, what do you know about the bill and its chances of passing?
I think that we could potentially see this bill in California pass. California, as you mentioned, is a great state in terms of first-in-the-nation bills. They have a very smart legislature, very smart people in California that set the trend for the nation in many ways, and they've done this on a lot of different issues. And we're really hoping, as consumer advocates, to see California pass the first-in-the-nation bill against deceptive hotel pricing.
We're speaking with Lauren Wolf. She is with Travelers United. We're talking about resort fees, particularly a bill that has been introduced in California legislation to see if we can at least make them up front and on the first page and included in the price of the hotel going in. Lauren, do you have any idea when the vote on this might occur for the first time?
I do not. I do not know the movements that are going on here, but I think we're expecting to see something relatively soon, and hopefully things will get moving, you know, this summer. So we'll get an idea of what's happening here. Obviously, as in with the U.S. Congress or state legislature, things generally tend to take a little bit longer than you may think. So things can happen along the way. So I don't know the exact timeline, but hopefully soon. The bill has already moved out of committee, which is obviously a huge first hurdle to overcome. And so this will go to a full vote. And we think that the chances of passing are high.
Lauren, I wanted to ask you, too, you note in your article, this is something that might be of interest to VRBO or Airbnb folks. You note that the bill would also mandate that short-term rental cleaning fees be included in the advertised price. We're hearing that these are being snuck into people who are doing vacation rentals. So this is something that not only for those of you who stay in hotels, but if this bill were to pass, it would also force vacation rental folks to disclose more of their fees up front.
Yes. This bill would not just impact hotels. It would obviously have an impact on short-term rentals, VRBOs, Airbnbs, HomeAway, all the companies. So what it would do is mandate that the service charges and cleaning fees be shown in the advertised price, just like a resort fee would need to be shown in the advertised price for a hotel. So actually, you may have heard last year, towards the end of last year, that Airbnb decided to start showing the mandatory or the full price, including all of the fees, if you selected to have that option on the Airbnb site. So they voluntarily decided to show you. Well, that's lovely, and we're glad that Airbnb has done that, but Airbnb has a lot of smart people there. They knew that this California bill was coming down the pipeline. And I think they wanted to get ahead of it and look like they were being friendly to consumers, when in reality, I think they knew that a California bill was incoming that was going to mandate it essentially anyways. So they got a little bit ahead of the curve to make them look more consumer friendly than they would have if this bill was not moving.
Okay. That makes perfect sense. Lauren, you founded a website, Kill Resort Fees. Is that website still alive?
It is. It still continues, even though I do most of my work with Travelers United. But, you know, I post sometimes over there and run the Twitter just where, you know, I just constantly retweet resort fee news. And, you know, it's really interesting because when I started this years and years ago, you know, there would be weeks would go by where nobody would talk about a resort fee. And now it's like every 10 minutes.
We're all beyond it. It's beyond annoying at this point. We all know that we're being ripped off. And I can only imagine being a front desk clerk at some of these places, especially small hotels that, you know, where they've got these amenity fees or destination fees, or we made it up because we couldn't think of any real reason to charge you fee. Type thing. Lauren, you have been quite the world traveler here. Before I let you go, I note on your Travelers United bio that you've been bungee jumping off the Victoria Falls Bridge in Africa.
I did. I did do
you
that.
You ran into Anthony Bourdain at a Mexican restaurant in Cambodia. You've been cage diving with great white sharks. Spend 30 seconds here and tell us about the Anthony Bourdain meeting.
Yeah, it was actually really crazy. I was just eating in Phnom Penh at a Mexican restaurant that was recommended in the New York Times, you know, 36 hours in Phnom Penh, Cambodia. I went there and there was just one other American guy because I heard him talking next to me. And then 5 minutes later, like seven other people jump out of a van and sit down with him. And it was Anthony Bourdain and his film crew. They were filming an episode about Cambodia, and at the time, Bourdain's show was only on in the United States, so nobody had any idea who he was, none of the European tourists or Australians or anything there. So it was really funny because he was just sitting there eating, and I, you know, went up and said hello, and they said they were filming the Cambodia episode. And I said I was traveling for essentially the next year. And they said, well, maybe we'll run into you again. And I thought that was funny. And that was it.
Wow. Cool. You never know who you're going to meet when you're out there. I have sat down on the airplane seats and sat next to some reasonably famous and very nice people over the years.
Yep.
So good luck with your adventures. We will put a link to your Kill Resort Fees website at travelguysradio.com. If you're interested, keep up the good fight. We'll stay on top of this, and perhaps we'll talk again about resort fees and the death thereof before too long. Thanks, Lauren,
Hopefully.
For your time today.
Thanks for having me.
She's a really fun lady. I mean, she sounds like somebody that you'd like to travel with, sort of. I mean, she's kind of bouncy, and she's full of information. And
good
boy,
information, good energy, no doubt about it.
Yeah, yeah, good energy, which when you comes to travel stuff, energy is really important. Maybe California will be the first city, the first state to be able to do something about the way these fees are done. And just we're not talking about getting rid of the fees necessarily. We're talking about the way the fees are presented to you. And if they're forced to present them in a certain fashion, a lot of the advantages of the fees to the hotels and other entities will go away, and that may make the fees go away. That's our hope. And even if they don't go away, at least you will know what they are at the starting line instead of the finish line.
All right. I'm a taller traveler. Not really, but I do like the aisle seat. What is going on, Mark? You got a tease that something about the exit row seats.
Yeah. Well, those are a place where a lot of people like to hide out, the exit row seats, because there's a row or two on every plane, generally towards the middle of the cabin, and they almost always have extra leg room. And if there are two rows, the first row, beware, will probably not recline because the row behind it is an exit row. And obviously they don't want seats back, so that they want people to be able to get off the plane in an emergency. So if there's two rows of exit seats, oftentimes the first row won't recline, but it will still have that additional leg room. What has happened is that a company that makes airline seats has come up with a new product. And the bad news here, one more piece of background information. The FAA requires that the airlines have at least 13 inches between the front of one row and the back of another seat, of the seat in the next row, in the exit rows. That's
okay.
Considerably more room that is allowed on other rows on the plane. So this is why people, especially tall people, like these seats, is because they have some additional legroom. This new company, though, has come up with an idea that, if embraced by the airlines, would change all of that. What would happen is your seat, when you stood up from it and you were up from it for a few seconds, it will automatically fold down. So if there were an emergency on the plane, now it no longer has to have the extra legroom because the seat creates its own legroom when you stand up. Therefore, you lose the legroom on a permanent basis, and you only get it when you stand up from the seat. So it would be great for getting on and off the plane. You'd have a little more room in that row. But during the flight, not so much, because the plane's seat would fold back up and it would be the same distance from the row in front of it as any other row on the plane. Does that make sense?
Yes and no. I got to ask you about this, the seat folding up. Now, my first thought was, well, you know, kind of like a theater seat, when you stand up, the part you sit on will fold back.
Exactly.
Is that what we're talking about? Not the whole seat?
No, what we're talking about is the opposite of that. Part of what your, let's say, what your upper legs were on, you know, your tush is on the main part of the seat. And then your upper legs would be supported by the front edge of the seat. When you stand up, the first few inches of the front end of that seat folds down.
Okay.
So that is what creates the extra room, is part of your seat that you were sitting on. Now when the sensor realizes that you're not sitting on it anymore, it folds down. And I'm guessing that there's some way to get it back up. I'm looking at the picture there online. It looks to me like there's a lever or something that would bring it back up. But what it does is it eliminates the extra legroom in flight.
Well, I was for a moment there. I thought maybe the seat itself would just actually just like go down into the end of the plane and there would be no seat there at all. You'd have a clear shot to the exit door and you would have no seat until you came back. And then it would pop out of the ground.
Okay. This is why I love doing the radio show with you.
Yes. Do we have a picture of that on travelguysradio.com?
No, we don't, I'm afraid.
Could you make a sketch? Just a pencil drawing would be fine.
Yeah.
And take a picture of it with your cell phone.
It's made by a company called Recaro. Oh. It's the new X-Tend, T-E-N-D seat. X-Tend, as in extend.
Oh, okay.
So what did and why would airlines do this? Because it might allow them to get one more row of seats on the plane. And if that happens, that's six more seats, or four on a regional jet. And six more seats times 80 gazillion flights is a lot of revenue. So that's where that all comes in. Our friend Ben Schlappig from One Mile at a Time is reporting on this new seat. He got it from a website called Point Me. So,
okay, yeah, I just Googled the new X10 seat, and it came up with seat covers, and never mind.
Okay. Try not to wander off there during the program.
I'm working on a sketch right now.
If you could. Okay. Travelers United has a story here that says they are trying to get airlines to be more responsible for delays. And they have pointed out, the airlines have come back and said, well, you know, last flight of the day and stuff. Sometimes we hold planes, we wait for people. And so our friend Charlie at Travelers United has said, yeah, but what about the passenger who flies into Denver on United and flies out of Denver on American? So now their United flight is late. And United doesn't really care, because at that point they've handed you off. They either think your travel is over, or you've made other plans. So they don't really care what happens to you at that point. But what Charlie's point is that in the European Union, if your flight is late and it causes you to miss a connection, and you can prove that, whether the connection was same airline or not, the airline has to pay you a fee as a customer for that inconvenience. And the fees are rather substantial. So Charlie's point is, in this country, if airline A causes you to miss a connection with airline B, then airline A should have some liability for that. Good luck, Charlie. I think it's a long uphill battle, but it's cool to have people like Charlie. He picks fights with people that he can't win, and every once in a while he wins one.
It's amazing. He's got some tenacity, that's for sure.
Here's a story from a lady. She is a blogger. I don't have a link to this, but I will tell you, it's cheapholidayexpert.com is the name of her blog site. And she did a story this week, and we've talked about this before. People have tried this, but she really did it. She packed all kinds of stuff into her clothes and got onto the plane, didn't have to use a carry-on, or didn't have to check a bag and pay the extra fees for those things. because she had wadded it all up and had stuffed it all inside her clothing. She even took the, you know, some of us have neck pillows now that have a padded neck. She took the pad out of the pillow and stuffed two pairs of pants in there and flew that way. She's not a rather big-chested lady, so she got herself a bra that had room for someone who had a big chest.
Ample room.
And then she used that to pack clothing and the like in. She used inside and outside pockets all over the place. I just will say it seems like an awful lot of trouble to go to save $35. But it depends on how much $35 means to you as to how much you would be willing to do. And in her case, she got a story out of it for a blog, so I guess it worked out okay for her.
Have you ever heard of a guy by the name of Dick Orkin and the Radio Ranch? They used to be famous for making hilarious commercials with some very, very talented actors. They produced a commercial where basically this guy gets on the plane and he's all bulked out. And I don't remember the premise of where it was going to go, but basically he just put layer after layer after layer of clothing so that when he got to his destination, he was wearing his wardrobe for the next 4 days and did not have to have a carry-on or a suitcase.
And the only thing I would say to all these people is, who would want to sit next to this person on the airplane? Because they've expanded their body form.
Yes.
Their footprint, if you will, is not, there is no way it's going to fit into one seat on an airplane. So they're going to be hanging out all over the place. If you're a person who happens to be unfortunate enough to sit next to them, you're going to have their panties or bra or socks or, you know, next week's underwear just inches from your nose. Let's hope it's next week's underwear and not last week's. Let's hope it's on the outbound part of the trip and not the return part, for sure. All right, here, one more story that we have before we wrap up today. Here's a story done. This is from the Aussies down under. Research findings by Qantas and a University of Sydney researcher released today show it's possible to reduce the impacts of jet lag by reshaping the in-flight travel experience.
Mm-hmm.
They found that different lighting and sleep schedules, meal times, and specific ingredients like chili and chocolate during long-haul flights have been shown to contribute to improved traveler well-being. Movement and exercise are, unsurprisingly, also a key element. You know, they tell you, even if you're on a 10-hour flight over the pond, make sure that you get up and stretch and walk down the up and down the aisle and stuff like that. So anyway, we'll keep an eye on this. They had a bunch of volunteers, and what they did was not completely unheard of, but I don't know that I want to sit next to somebody who has consumed a whole lot of chili before a long flight.
It's a drawback.
I can see some issues with that. But there are some foods that apparently will help you fly better. So we'll talk about this more on a future Travel Guys episode.
Well, that about does it for the Travel Guys for this week. Thanks for coming along.
Remember, dance like nobody's watching.
See you next time, my friends.